I'm with Samia Callisto at the Corso Theatre in The Hague, and you have a new work, I believe.
That's right, that's W, the new work.
What's that? That's the second part of a two-part thing. The first one was called M, I think.
M, that's correct. Like, while in M, I used like five men on stage with music of Mahler, mixed with a soundscape. This one, I'm doing W with five women on the music of Wagner. Also mixed with a soundscape.
And where does the inspiration for that come from?
I think both pieces have a connection with the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche, which is a philosopher that inspired these two works of Mahler and Wagner at some point. And it's all about the search for transformation through the, let's say, the liberation of the body. Of the body that's of the power that's sort of contained within our bodies.
When you're creating a ballet, what's your normal point for inspiration? Do you start off by thinking of a move or a piece of music? Where do you start?
In this specific case of these two pieces, there was a very strong connection between music and philosophy. This is a very strong departure point. In the case of W, you do have the opera Tristan und Isolde of Wagner that has this theme of transcendence through love or through passion or through emotions, which was the work that Nietzsche declared as a work of ultimate transcendence. It's a work, or Schopenhauer said that's the longest orgasm he's ever heard. So the connection between both music and philosophy is really something important, but somehow because of my music background, I'm always and constantly doing works that come from the music and depart from the music, even though they have different outputs later on. Yeah.
Because I detect that you are not Dutch, are you? You're, in fact, from Brazil.
From Brazil, that's right.
And how long have you been working in The Hague?
Well, I've been working here first as a dancer for the last 14 years, but traveling around, having that gypsy life that we all have as dancers. So somehow, yeah, I've been based in Holland since then, but really moving around and traveling around Europe. But as a choreographer, I've been connected to Corso Theatre for the last 8 years.
Are you a resident choreographer, or what's the situation here?
I'm one of the choreographers that's fully supported up to now from Corso. We do not have the concept of resident choreographers, but choreographers that actually are connected to the production house. And every case is a case. In my case, they really supported me from the very beginning. And somehow W, now it's really on, let's say, on the last tail of my connection with Corso.
Well, you must have been very young when you left Brazil.
Well, thank you. Not that young. I'm 40 years old now. And
so did you come here to study dance?
No, I had finished my studies there in Brazil. I came and I immediately sort of started taking dance lessons here to get known in the circuit. And then I auditioned and started getting jobs after a year here. But I studied actually theater and classical music in Brazil. So my background, I studied opera. So
you sing as well?
I used to, yeah. I really used to. So therefore, that's the reason why my works have a strong connection to music. Because I cannot approach a piece of music without looking at the structure, without looking at its background, the context, and etc.
To me, music is a very important factor in dance, but very often with contemporary dance, and I notice it quite often here, that there is almost no music. There's a sort of soundtrack.
Right.
Which sometimes works better than others.
Yes, I think, yes, it is. And when you have a soundscape, you have the possibility of giving the choreography the autonomy of creating its own
You can create an atmosphere yourself.
An atmosphere and its own musicality, basically. It's very hard to work with existing pieces of music because you are, at least for me, because you become very aware of what that music represents. If you're choosing Wagner, you're just not setting movements on top of Wagner.
The script's already written.
Yeah. So it's you have to find a way to communicate in different layers with that music. As I said, both in M and W, I make use of soundscape to connect these universes of Mahler or Wagner to a more contemporary, let's say, atmosphere, more contemporary kind of work in music. But in my previous piece, for instance, Summa, I used just purely the music of Arvo Pärt. It's incredible. It's really incredible music. But there was something, of course, there was live music, and there was something in the concept that sort of supported that idea of having that music purely used, because it's a music of purity.
Absolutely. And there are other composers, like obviously Philip Glass is used a lot, Max Richter is used a lot. Mm-hmm. And that is very, very suitable for contemporary dance. But as I said before, when you have a blank sheet of paper mm-hmm. and you want to create a new dance, mm-hmm. what's the starting point? What do you say? I'll do it to this piece of music, mm-hmm. or I've got this wonderful little sequence of moves. Mm-hmm. What normally is the first thing you have when you start?
More often than not, with me, is with the music.
Yeah,
I listen to the music and I try to understand what are all the layers that compose that music, not only in structural terms, but also the context in which that music was composed.
Is that important?
For me, it becomes, because even if you decide to ignore that, at least you are aware. And I think that music, in the end of the day, especially when you talk about classical music, it's carrying forward.
It has baggage.
It does have baggage, absolutely. And I mean, it acquires baggage as it goes through time as well. And I think an awareness towards it, at least in the kind of work I do.
And respect?
Very much so, but not reverence, you know. I think I treat with respect, and my way of respecting the piece is to understand where it comes from, to understand what it represented at that moment when it was created. And then I don't feel like I should update necessarily that music, but I do feel I should dialogue to it. In the case of Wagner, you do have the whole revolution that was Tristan und Isolde by the time it was composed. I mean, that was an opera that very few people understood when they heard. For the first time, but very few times before, they could not detect an aria where the soprano or the tenor stepped forward and sing that beautiful song, you know?
No, I mean, Wagner is very much... not an acquired taste, but you certainly have to learn to understand it.
Absolutely, and to understand that that you are dealing with layers of texture, of tessitures, of things that are overlapping each other, and holding your grip until the end. I mean, you listen to Tristan und Isolde, I mean, he saves the last chord for the last minute. Within a frame of 4 hours, which is incredible.
Often the first chord is very good too.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's so you have that sense of suspension and not resolution. And I mean, he bored people at his time, you know.
He's an acquired taste. It took me quite a long time to get into Wagner. I just found it too heavy and too rich,
it
almost.
Is.
And you have to. It takes time to get in, but once you are in,
yes,
it's fantastic.
And it's terrifying to do choreography in it.
You know? Have you never fancied directing an opera?
Yes, very much so. But the role of choreographers often in opera productions is to make the dance. And the problem is I do have...
They don't have any ballets in Wagner, do they?
No, they don't. But normally what you do have, let's say, in what traditional... the traditional setup is in opera, you do have the director and you do have the choreographer. But in that case, I would love to approach the whole thing because I do have a vision about where the music is sort of leading. So, as you say, I would much more likely to direct than actually just choreograph.
Because
those are very different functions,
yes.
Yeah. But to direct an opera, absolutely. I mean, there are a few operas that are in my, in my dreams there.
You should create an opera. As we were saying earlier, I saw the Liaison Dangereuse yesterday, mm-hmm. which was an opera created from scratch using Vivaldi's music. Couldn't you do the same?
Yes, I think, if I could find, like, the line between these compositions and something that could sort of connect all of them, that's one possibility. Mm-hmm. But if you take an opera like, of course, that many choreographers approached, like Orfeo and Eurydice of Gluck, that's obviously an opera for music, but I have the dream of doing Bluebeard's Castle of Bartok. It's a very compact opera of an hour that only has two singers, and it's the only opera that Béla Bartók has ever written. It's heavy, but it's an amazing music. I mean, I think there's so much possibility for the body there.
Because the difference, I think, between, to a great extent, a generalization, mm-hmm. between opera and certainly contemporary dance is the number of people involved.
Right.
When you get an opera company on the road with 80, 90 people, whereas a contemporary company can travel with half a dozen and do very well.
Exactly. But it's also a matter of money.
Money
that's being...
It's always money.
That's exactly surrounding that art. Of course, the structure of opera demands more money and generates more money as well.
But I mean, in the Netherlands is one, possibly the leading country in the world for contemporary dance.
Yes.
And I think it's relatively well funded here, isn't it?
It is. I mean, if you compare to most of Europe, it is. But the difference is there are very few fixed ensembles here in Holland. You do have, of course, the Nederlands Dance Theater, you have Escapino, you have the large ones. You have houses like Corso that support talent from their beginning until the mid-career, but you do have that gap in the mid-career choreographers, where I'm starting to find myself now. that actually, where do I go? If I open my own company, you do miss the structure of a theater that's backing yourself up, you know?
And all the logistics, the management becomes
which is massive, which is massive. And then when you have a tour like mine with 25 shows, you do need that structure. Yeah. But as soon as you leave the support of a production house, it becomes very hard to afford that because you do need the structure that travels with you. While in countries like Germany, you have the Stadttheater system, with very little towns, you know, having their theater with their opera house, with their dance company, but they do not tour. And Holland does have this tradition in dance also because I think it's a historic thing, you know, as it is a merchant's culture, you know, you have people coming, flooding in and out, and the same sort of extended to dance. But you do have very few choreographers who end up their lives here. So you constantly have a lot of people passing through Holland. But as soon as you are required to settle a structure, is the most challenging time for your career.
I can, well, yes, I can understand that. But the world is a very big, big place. It would be a pity to limit yourself to a small country like Holland, even though it has this incredible reputation and
for
contemporary dance.
Totally, but it's, in the end of the day, it's a shame also that the country has invested on so many of us, and then you have to leave once you reach a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm a fruit of what the country is, you know, in terms of dance.
And you must feel a responsibility for that.
Very much so, yeah,
The legacy of it.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. But I think it's, I dare say it's something in the mentality of the Dutch, which has its pros and cons, which is to always look forward. You know? They're constantly looking forward, but at the same time, there's this resistance to let things settle for too long.
So... Is this your last production here?
It's not necessarily the last. I think no. It's sort of a wrap up. I'm probably going to follow my way after that. So, I might be in co-productions with Corso, but
you're going to stay in The Hague.
As far as I know, yes. I think everything's very open at the moment. You know, I do not have a new production coming this upcoming year after W. Suma is coming back in the fall. The performance of Arvo Pärt. So we do have a new national tour with Suma. And I'm going to take this time to trace the new steps in my career after this.
Okay, thanks very much for that. That was Samir Calisto in the Corso Theatre in The Hague. And this is Michael Hasted of Arts Talk magazine.